Hey, yo, what is up, world? This is King EDO, and I am proud and blessed to welcome you to the first episode of Serendipity at the Numbers. Here, I'm with my two wonderful co-hosts. Can y'all introduce yourselves to the wonderful audience here?
Yes, of course, of course. So I'm Simone the Water Bearer. Yeah.
My name is Solstra, and we're part of the group Serendipity.
Right. All right. Yeah. This is crazy. So, to open up, y'all don't know who we are, but we want to introduce you to ourselves, our concepts, our ideas, to really open up. Our group is called Serendipity. There's a lot of meaning to that to us personally. The original name was brought to me initially by Taya. Taya, if you would break down the description and the concepts behind what Serendipity is, like the word by itself, and why you brought it to us as a collective.
Okay. So it really just started off like being introduced to the word. And man, I think we were like recording in your dorm. And we were just like going in, like freestyling and having a good time, I remember. And I think it was Blaze. We're like, and we should start something. And then I was like, Serendipity. And then from there, it really just represents us as a collective and the meaning of things beautifully coming together and creating a platform that can help build and bring community together. That's really what it means.
And that's like a big intention of what we want to do here. When it comes to Serendipity as a collective, right now we currently are touching up on music. We're all musicians here, but we definitely want to expand, grow, build, help other people expand, all of that, and like really just go crazy with it. Like really change the world with this.
Yeah.
Some beautiful connections, all that.
Be active community members, man. It's like all that.
All that. Okay. So, I think we are good to break into who we are, because this is y'all's first intro to us as a group. So I think to start, why don't we start with where we are from and what brought us to the state of Oregon and to the wonderful city of Portland? Dave, you want to open up?
Yeah, for sure. So I'm from Boise, Idaho. Grew up there, born and raised. Finished out my high school there, and then took a year off after high school to work. I did some restaurant stuff, and then saved up some money. I had been in talks with Edo that year about wanting to move. And we were trying to figure out how we were going to do it. And COVID happened. A lot of things fell through. And eventually we were able to, with Simone here, we were able to get a place. So that's what brought me to Oregon, was wanting to like get out of the place where I'd always been and just see new things, new opportunities. Yeah, that's kind of the whole bit of how I got here.
Yeah, and I'll just take off from there. Sort of just like a similar situation. I'm from Anchorage, Alaska, and born and raised, grew up there. I lived in many parts, but mainly the east side. But yeah, I mean, I wanted to get out. I wanted to really go somewhere where I can get more opportunity. I knew that I wanted to go to school, and I was studying business, and that's really how I met Edo. I think I met Blaze like the second day on campus, and then like from there that happened. But yeah, I just really wanted to just kind of like go anywhere where I felt like there was potential to really like make things happen. And yeah, like Solskjaer said, due to all like the circumstances and everything kind of like came together, and we got a place despite like all the COVID stuff. And yeah, that's really
Something I wanted to add just for the audience. Blaze is a member of our music group and also my old college roommate when we were all in school. We intend on eventually getting him on here so y'all can formally be introduced to the man, but that's that. To answer the question, so I am also from Idaho, one of the six black people who live there. My mom was like, yo, I don't want to be here, and both your sisters are in Oregon, so let's get you out. Moved here in high school. I met a black kid named Tristan. I was making really bad beats at the time, but he rapped over my beats. And I just kept going from there. Had a lot of successes, had a few failures in college. Met Blaze. He was my roommate. Ran into Simone the Water Bear here. Was like, dang, this is crazy. You can spit. You got bars for days. And then, like, we just started making music and all this. Then our boy Solstra over here came to visit me with a bunch of our other friends. And he was just like, damn, this is kind of nice. And we were like, I mean, you could move. And lo and behold, everything with COVID went down, as everyone else said. Now we all live together, make music. And now we're starting this show. And it is kind of amazing. It is amazing. Not kind of amazing.
It's very amazing.
It's absolutely amazing.
This is the opportunity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is the one. I think about, like, I remember months ago, one late night, with our LED lights on, the room was fully blue. And I remember us being like, man, we need a talk show. We could get everyone on. Let's get Travis Scott on our talk show. And now, I'm serious when I say maybe in the next few years, y'all could be listening to this and you're going to hear Travis Scott.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Big dreams. Putting it out there. Because that's the crazy part of, like, we was really in the crib, like, talking about this, talking about opportunity, right. and definitely now to see it manifested, it's amazing. But I wanted to touch on more to dive into. You mentioned about how you got into music and all that. As far as like with that social, I definitely want to hand that to you and really want to let you elaborate.
Okay, so. Music for me, as far as just the general experience, has always been something that I found solace in listening to and experiencing. As far as my developments as an artist, it wasn't really until COVID that there was a lot of time just being stuck indoors, just a lot of things going on. And I had time to journal and get a lot of thoughts out. And at that point, it wasn't really emotionally connecting for me as well. Like, I was able to get all of my thoughts out, but it didn't feel right. So I started turning that into more music, like writing raps and different things. And that was a lot more expressive for me, that I was able to put more emotion into my writing for it to make sense to me. So that's where I started developing and doing things like that. And I'd done stuff before, but as far as actually taking it seriously as something that I wanted to do and cared about, that was the building point from then on. And then to the point that we're at now, where we're recording and making music all together as a group and a collective. Also, it was a big inspiration seeing you guys, like, I guess not really seeing you guys, but hearing you guys and the music you were putting out. That was wild for the first time hearing that stuff. That was a game changer in knowing what I could be a part of. And that definitely accelerated things.
Even for you, Simone, like, what? Because me and David have, like, a really, like, down pat. Like, we've known each other since middle school. But for you, how was your musical journey because you came to Oregon and you was already like, I got bars. So like, how was that journey getting there?
I mean, up to this point, really, I mean, music has really always been in my life. I mean, like, my dad used to rap. He used to make beats, and whenever he had like a solid place to stay, like, he always had like something set up at least to like fiddle around and make beats with. And that was something that I always admired. And I always had like, I've always had people in my family that are like doing music, and whether they're singing or being an artist. And that's always been something that's interested me. And just the solid fact of like loving music and loving to see just pieces of art and music just put out and be excited about hip hop. I mean, we're all nerds here, but that's real. But for me, I think I kind of started writing probably around 9 or 10. Like, just, it was always something that I would do in my room. Like, it was my release, my downtime, and something that fun that I did like in my room just by myself. I had recorded before, done a little bit of like performances here and there in Anchorage, but I was mainly just writing. And up to now, or more recently, like last year when I met you, Ado, is when I really began recording more frequently and like really getting to hear my voice and be okay with it, one, and figure things out and get better. So that's it. It's really it to this point. And now
you just spit one of the realest things ever. Getting used to your rap voice is one of the single most, like, it's so weird because like no one is ever used to hearing their voice.
Right.
Like, I remember being in like middle school and making YouTube videos with David and stuff like that. And I'm like watching my terrible acting at the age of 12 and like having to hear myself talk. And then like first few songs are horrible. They are some of the worst things man has ever heard. The other day I played everyone this song that I made when I was like 11, called Dance Floor.
It was pretty good. Dance it was floor, pretty hey, good. I liked it.
Dance Floor is fire. Do not sleep, bro. We got to put it on here one of these days.
Oh, that's going to change the world.
But like, even then, it's like, it takes so much getting used to as a musician, because it's like, we don't come out just naturally making hits or like making like our best work. It's like, right. It's always work. It's always getting used to how you sound. I think like they, like Solstra, even with you, it's like, I go back to a lot of your oldest tracks and I hear you more and more, like getting more and more used to like your style and your sound, to like, now when we record, bro, you are a completely different artist than you were like 3 months ago.
Right.
Not even three, sorry. We've lived together for like almost a full year.
Yeah. No, it definitely does take a while. It's weird going back and like listening to that stuff, because you don't know until you do it, until you put the work in, until you practice, how you're going to evolve and how things are going to change. And it's pretty jarring to go back and listen to that stuff. Definitely not the same.
Right.
I think I want to touch on one of our questions here. So in our of our musical journeys, where would you guys say you are in your recording process now?
Okay. Recording process wise, I spent a really long time trying to appeal to a lot of other people when it came to the music that I was making. And I've been making music for a while. Like, this is like my fifth or sixth year, like really trying to go at it. And I really do feel as if my recording process has come to this position where I am figuring out what I enjoy and then like really putting work into perfecting that less trying to make a bunch of other people happy. And like, that's been really nerve-wracking, because it's like, I'm trying a lot of stuff that I've never tried before. Mm-hmm. I'm doing a lot of stuff that I don't normally do. And like, that's nerve-wracking, because it's like, at some point I want to put it out, but like, they right. could just fall flat on its face.
But it's the stuff that you like to do. Right. And that's what's really important, mm-hmm. is right. getting that sound out. And I have to agree with you for myself that I think that it's definitely more to that point. And it's still a ever-learning process, mm-hmm. that things are changing. I have different ideas of what I want to sound like, or things that I want to be trying differently. But just always being sure that it's the stuff that I like to do, that even the stuff that I like to have fun with, that's a really big right. part of it. Like, not taking it too over the top serious. Mm-hmm. Like, it's art at the end of the day. You can have fun with it. You can mess with it a little bit.
Real.
Yeah, what about you?
For me, I would say, I think I've enjoyed a lot of exploring with a lot of different sounds. Mm-hmm. I feel like when I come out to the living room, you're cooking up something different each time, and it'll give me a different kind of feel of like how to write to it. And or even just when I'm in my room, like surfing through YouTube and like mm-hmm. listening to like different sounds and different vibes, and like figuring out how I can best approach the song.
Right.
Something that I feel like now that I am that I'm doing is really listening to it and like seeing if I can actually like apply myself to it and like write something, rather than force myself mm-hmm. to write to something, because not every time you hear a beat, it might not be for you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Not every time that you approach that beat, that time you have something to write. You might right. hear that 1 month, and then 6 months from that point, you have lyrics pouring out. And so I think that has been really, really good for me in my process of like learning how I am as far as like approaching stuff and what I want to say and mm-hmm. the different sounds and how I would want them to go together. Right. Writing stories, even writing like concepts out. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where I'm at.
That's real. A question that we have, we have some whiteboards in front of us. My goodness.
Please. Sir, please.
We have our whiteboards in front of us with a bunch of questions. And one that I really like on there is, this one's in my notes. My bad. But what is y'all's, like, thus far, your favorite recording experience?
I think thus far, when we recorded Sugar Mama,
ooh,
that was fun. That's a good experience. The whole experience of that was just coming out with just some crazy lyrics that people don't really expect, and you just kind of hit them with it. And it's funny in the moment when you got a whole lot of people around you,
right,
and they just hear what you got, and mm-hmm. you just lay it right then and there, and then just keep going. So things like that in particular, just different group experiences where you have some stuff and you write. Another experience that I really enjoyed was the one time in October where it was you, Edo, me, and Blaze. We had that time that we were going like four lines by four lines back and forth between the three of us mm-hmm. and recording a song. And that came out really cool. And I think different experimental songs like that come out really fun.
Yeah.
So those are my favorites.
I have a lot of good memories of us just kind of like going crazy in the studio. One that's a really funny memory of just like us, I don't know at what time at night, just like picking the instrumental like for Groovy Love, of just ooh. Like really was my idea of like, let's make like a 80s R&B Prince kind of inspired R&B song, and we did, and it was just goofy, and that whole process was really fun.
Bro, we were up till 3 a.m. working on that song,
and it was amazing. Tell me Groovy Love don't slap.
Groovy Love is a banger.
Groovy Love's exclusive vault stuff. But also, I really liked the experience of, now that I'm thinking about it, On the Run. Mm. When we did On the Run, that was probably like my first week at the apartment. That was interesting because, like, I just kind of heard the beat and was just like really just like freestyling stuff. And yeah. I really think I just freestyled it, and I really like the flows and the way that song has really grown on me.
Your flow is crazy. That's one of my like favorite songs, I think, just because like the beat is really medieval. Like, it sounds like it's out of like a medieval movie. But then, like, the way you come on it and your energy felt very, like, you and I talk about, like, this era of music from, like, 2007, 8-ish to, like, 2010-ish of, like, this, no, 2014-ish. This era where, like, Freddie Gibbs was just getting started, like, ASAP Rocky, nothing was the same, Drake was there. Mm-hmm. That era.
Kendrick.
The way you came on that song felt so much like that era, and like that is one of my favorite eras of hip hop to go back to. Mm. So like that was a win.
It was a really it was a fun song to just do.
And Blaze goes crazy on that one too.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I think one of my favorite moments. I don't think we did it was two sessions. So quick shout out to our boy Ben Max, because he helped me make this beat for this track called On Site. And it's like this I almost Cali style West Coast banger. And I remember Taya laid down the chorus that night when Ben Max was there. And then like we just like could not figure out what to do. And then that same day when it was you, me, and Blaze going back and forth on tracks, like everyone was there. Everyone was just listening to this beat. And then Blaze laid down a verse, and then I was like, damn, that was good. I'm going to lay down a verse. And then David, you were like, man, I'm going to lay down a verse.
Right.
And then Tay was like, no, I want to lay down a verse. And then, like, that ended up, and I'm like, that is one of our best songs.
By
like,
far.
No joke. Because it felt like everyone, like, you hear those studio sessions where it's like, oh, we got to, like, top you. Like, I heard that verse, and I was like, I got to top that. Like, it felt just like that. But, like, since we're all on the same team, it just ended up being, like, the stats were crazy. Like, it was, like,
maxed out.
We were that NBA team, bro.
Bro.
All the way through.
Yeah, no, that was amazing. That's one of my favorite sessions for sure.
Yeah. I think with that, we can go into our first music break.
Yeah.
All right.
We will be back right after to talk music and more cool things. And we're back. What's up, y'all?
Doing good.
Doing amazing.
Oh, yeah. That was funny. That's going to be funny on the podcast. Okay, sorry. So, y'all just heard some new tunes, some new music. This is going to be a big part of the show for us.
Yes.
A big part of why we wanted to do this show is to help y'all in finding new music, new popping music, finding underground artists. Finding out how we feel about new music in general, just kind of like trying to close the gap on the station and getting some new music out there. So we're doing this without knowing what songs we're putting in the mix now. So we're gonna say right now. But starting off, before we get into the general conversation, Solstra, Simone, what songs did you guys pick to throw into our three song mix this week?
Right now I'm listening to new Kenny Mason album. I would say Much Money featuring our lovely Freddie Gibbs. That is the one right now that I'm playing back to back. I also really just like the album, and like For Show is another song that I really like. Another song that I'm just listening to that just is feel good. Is For You by Pierre.
Oh yeah,
that's a good one that I'm listening to right now. Slime Language 2 just dropped, so like that's crazy. What are y'all listening to?
Okay, I wrote down a whole bunch of songs. Definitely off the Kenny Mason project, I liked Pup and Re a lot. I think those are my favorite. 43 as well is really cool. those are my top three off the projects. Wonderful project, by the way. If you guys don't know Kenny Mason, please go check him out.
On the way.
Wonderful artist from Atlanta. Off the Map by Sofago. That's been in rotation a lot.
Bro, all this week, we've done full-blown acapella versions of the song Off the Map by Sofago. For people who do not know Sofago, that song is going to take over the summer.
Mm-hmm.
You are going to hear that everywhere. I can tell you.
Yes.
If you haven't already heard it. Because that song bangs for no reason.
It's crazy. Mm-hmm. I love that song. Batman by LPB Pootie.
Yeah.
That's been taking up a lot of my mind space pretty consistently every day.
Yes.
Rap Star by Polo G. Lancey Foe's newest album.
Right.
Can't remember the name of it, but the song Controlling Me in particular is a really good song.
Right.
I've had A by Thousand Benfani in my rotation. Big Scar just dropped a new album. I like I Would Keep Going off of that. And then without a song in particular, I was just thinking about talking about Snot for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Snot.
Snot's
incredible.
Crazy. Snot is going crazy.
I mean, if we were going to pick a song, Calabasas.
I'm getting there. We're going to get there.
Okay. Go for it.
Okay. For y'all who do not know, there is this artist coming out of Louisiana named SSG Kobe. SSG Kobe right now is like my number one listen to artist, him and Playboi Carti. But I won't get into it. We'll save it for another episode. I want to talk about Kobe. Kobe is up next. I'm telling y'all, if you are not listening to SSG Kobe, hop on the wave now because there's going to be a point where his tickets are $300 and you're going to be upset you didn't hop on early. This track, Calabasas, sounds like California music, windows down, sunset, and we are butts out the window going crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Calabasas is banging. Snot goes crazy on Calabasas. That is like my favorite song right now. That song is on loop. This song isn't really underground at all, but I just want to give it love because I think everyone should give this song love who enjoys it. Montero Called Me By My Name by Lil Nas X is beautiful. It's a good song. It's well made. And it's just dope to see more black people making pop music.
Mm-hmm.
It's great to see queer black people making pop music. It is dope to see someone doing a lap dance on the devil. And if you hate me for saying that, this is not the show for you. I apologize. Also, Kenny Mason, his project is crazy. My favorite track off of it is Partments. I really like the beat off that one. And then I've been listening to this new R&B duo. They go by the name of Vague Detail. It's two artists named Kaleem Taylor and The Code. I actually find The Code through the numbers. And they have this track named Broken. And the vocals on it are just crazy. Like, oh, man. So, yeah, we'll pick the best out of those songs that we all named and we'll throw them in the mix. Y'all have already heard that. But to transition, I'm going to try my best here. So we talked about how, like, we want to take this opportunity with this show to introduce y'all to new music, new artists. But we want to really put an emphasis on artists who are in our local areas. So we live in Portland, but we're from Idaho. We're from Alaska. We have people in Washington. I would love to find people from Montana, from like Arizona, like all these places, Nevada, like all these places that I feel don't really have crazy huge music scenes. So to really hammer this in, this show will not only be a way for us to really get out our opinions, but we want this to be a space for y'all to feel like you can contact us, send us music, send us art. We have emails, we have Instagrams. Like, we're going to be plugging that all at the end of the show, but it's like, we want y'all to like send us your music, send us your art, send us your business, send us your friends' music, send us beats, like ask to collab. Like, we are really open to like all of this. We want y'all to be involved like beyond just us talking. Like, this is a show for the people, you know what I'm saying?
Real. Yeah. And to touch off of that, the sky isn't the limit. We trying to go to the
space
Andromeda,
right?
Mm-hmm. But yeah, we really just want to make this a platform that has emphasis on community and can really just help artists get that platform of, like, there's a lot of people that feel like people aren't trying to listen to them. We find artists like every day with like 15 listeners on Spotify that sound amazing. We're artists ourselves. We got fire. So it's like, we want this to be a space to just really just like help people, bring people together, get artists connections, network. There are so many different content ideas that we have, and we definitely want to hear from y'all. And we're just going to keep going with this, guys.
Yeah, I definitely agree with all those points. I think a big part of it is creating that community aspect of it, of like just bringing people together and having the networks to talk and to ask for things, that we can start building a community that if people need mixes, we can find people. If you need features, we can find people. If you just want promotion, that we can have all these avenues that we build up together, and that we can all learn and grow and profit from this.
Mm-hmm. We also want to, like, we're not just going to be doing like this where it's the three of us. We want to get interviews with y'all. Like, shoot your shot. Because, like, for all you know, one week you'll be listening, the next week you might be on here.
Like, right.
This is an opportunity. We really, like, I think a lot about, we are fans of the era of 2016, where Lil Uzi Vert, Lil Yachty, 21, all those people were coming out of their respective cities. And, like, if you did the fine work, like, if you were researching, you found out that all these people knew each other before they all blew up. Like, they were all already friends. They were all already connecting. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's because their cities help push them. It's because Atlanta has a great community for music. It's because Florida has a great, like, New York, all these places. It's like, our areas doesn't have that push. So if we can be a help to help push people, if we can bring an artist from Alaska and an artist from Oregon together, like, that's the goal. Like,
anything that is possible. Goal.
Mm-hmm. Anything is possible. Absolutely anything.
I really like that you brought up like that 2016 era, because that was really a time where it was like a resurgence of like completely new stuff.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I remember like at the time, like a lot of old heads didn't really mess with like what was going on. And now, like, everybody's
right.
Hip hop has changed so much. Everybody, you have Kenny Mason and Freddie Gibbs on the same song.
Right.
Like, hip hop is so different right now. It's so much more united and it's so much more complex. And there's so many new branches that everybody's in their lane. Mm-hmm. Everybody's in their bag right now. So many new sounds. And I love it. And we really just want to be a part of that and really want to just help bring different people out, bring new eras, you know?
Right.
There's always new artists that are ready to be found and are ready for the world to hear their stuff.
Right. I couldn't say it any better myself.
Yeah.
Let's go. All right. Our next segment is going to be a fun one, I think. So on this show, obviously, we have proven that we love talking about music. But music is not our entire lives. We tend to actually at home be kind of nerds.
Big time
nerds. And we love a lot of media. We love movies. We love TV. I know y'all be reading like that. I read on occasion. But we want to talk about one of our favorite shows that we've been watching, that we know everyone is watching. We've actually read all the way to the end. It is an anime known as Attack on Titan.
AOT, not AOCG.
AOC.
No! I said what I said.
You did, with your chest. Commend you for it. AOC.
Okay. Where does y'all's journey start with the show?
Okay. I'll start it as far back as I can remember, which I wasn't really into it at this point, but it would have been in middle school for us that the show came out and people were talking about it. People were reading the manga. I don't know if it was exclusively the manga that was out at that point or the show. But that's when it like entered the frame of my mind. And like, I remember there were some different times that I'd be at my grandma's house late at night, and it would be playing on the TV. But as far as me watching the show, that would have been my senior year of high school. I had some friends that were talking about it, and I was getting more into anime in general at the time. And I was like, you know what? Sure, I'll give it a shot. And so I went through one night, watched an episode. I was hooked immediately. I watched, I think, the entire first season that night, if not through a couple nights. And it was crazy. I had not seen anything like that before. Like, just all of the different almost horror concepts in the show. Just, it was larger than life. The Titans are huge. They're like crumbling over the walls. It was intense. I hadn't seen stuff like that yet. And it was a really cool experience. So that's when I started watching the show. And then from there, phased in and out of it a few different times, but heavy binging it lately. That's been the lifestyle.
Right.
When I got started on Attack, shout out AOC, by the way, if you're listening.
We love you, AOC.
She probably not, but I think I really just started, like, I'd, like, be in the living room, like, getting food or something, or, like, chilling, and just seeing y'all, like, watching it, and I'm just like, what is this? These Titans is running kind of crazy right now, but I'm gonna watch. And then I really just got into it and started the first season and then up to now. And the story, the writing, it's really some of the best TV I've seen, some of the best story writing that I've seen. And it's really opened up my world to anime more, because we've been exploring and really like diving more into different shows. And that was something that I never was really into like that. Like, I know you guys started like in middle school, but man, this stuff was like not on my radar till literally earlier this year. And I really love it, because like anime is just, it's crazy. There's so many different pockets and there's some amazing stuff happening. Yeah, that's really how I got into it, and continuing like my journey with other stuff.
I was one of the people, in middle school, I was a deep cut anime nerd. I was watching a new anime every week.
For real.
And this was like the one that everyone was talking about at the time. So I was like, all right, let me try it. The first episode actually floored me. I watched it with my mom. Like, she was just in the room and she's like, this seems a little bit violent. And I was like, I don't care. So I kept going. And the first season, I remember just, like, that first few episodes had me really hooked, and then I slowly just, like, slowly got out of it. And then I was, like, that was, like, one of the last animes I watched during that time. And then, like, got into high school, went to college, like, was not watching anime. Like, I had fully realized my love for Transformers at this point. My collection is, like, 400 strong now. Let's go. And get to, like, college and, like, in PS4 parties with everyone, David and all the homies are like, Edo, look, the first season, we know you didn't like it, but you have to keep going. And I was like, bruh, if it doesn't hook me in the first season, I'm not doing it. I'm done. And then eventually everyone's like, just watch it. Season four is about to get started. You have to watch it. So then one day I sit down with David and I'm like, okay, let's do it. Let's watch season two, season three, season four. And bruh, yeah, that was one of the most exciting like few months of my life watching the series. Like, I remember we stayed up till like 4 a.m multiple nights just being like, one more episode
for like a week.
Like, it was crazy. And like, now to like, we've read all the way up to the ending, so we know where it ends. For those who do not know, Attack on Titan is going to be, the show is going to be finishing in January, but the manga has already finished. The show was good enough to the point where everyone in our friend groups, I'm talking everyone, like Taya's girlfriend, like all of our friends have read this manga, read the manga, not just the show, the manga. So, like, you got it. Like, it's crazy. This show deep. Is crazy. Yes.
Deep cut.
I think one thing I'd like to comment on really quickly is that you had talked about not loving the first season of the show, which I definitely agree with. That I watched it all, and there was a period where I was definitely burnt out after watching it. And I would just like to say that if you are somebody like that, that has watched the show and maybe burnt out and haven't come back to it, give it another shot.
Yeah.
It's incredible. The show also varies a lot season by season. So if there was a season that capped off and you didn't really like the direction it was going in, it's still going to be the same base show, but it's a new flavor every single time. It's worth your time.
It is worth your time.
And they mix it up every season. Every season, the animation gets better. Mm-hmm. Season one was good, by the way. It was a solid season, but I can really understand like how y'all like were like stopping on it because it just gets better.
Mm-hmm. It only goes up. Like, definitely, I remember, like, it's one of those where it's like I've learned now more and more that, like, the whole season one thing is really, like, it's been more of a me thing. Like, I think I just, like, it don't like slow anime like that.
Mm-hmm.
But when it starts ramping up, it starts ramping up. I remember my sister watched it, and, like, I remember at some point she was like, man, this part in season three is kind of slow. And then, like, 3 hours later, she hit me up, and she was like, bruh, the spirituality, this is insane. And I'm like, yeah, which is, like, for y'all who haven't seen it, this show that starts out as, like, just, like, monsters attacking the city, really, like, it hits so different. It, like, is life-changing at points. Like, it gets you thinking about a lot. It has really cool concepts. Like, I'm serious. Like, I would not normally suggest something that, like, the first season is not captivating or parts of it aren't captivating. But, like, this is so different.
Mm. It's dystopic.
Right.
It's, after that, it's just, it goes into different concepts of, like, how perceptions can really shape the mass of people's ideals. Like, the difference between Marley and those on the island.
Slight spoilers there. Apologies. Well, spoiler alert for y'all, kind of.
I mean, it's in the show.
Yeah, if you have not seen the show, we might get into spoilers. Watch the show from this point on. Pause, watch the show, come back, continue.
Real, my bad.
No, you're all good.
But it's just, it goes into so many different concepts and really just makes you think so much about life and even like our own mirrors of like of what's going on in actual life and in society now. Like, it's just very reflective.
Yeah,
it's reflective. Yeah. Something else. Well, okay, I'll put that at the show closer. Before we gotta wrap things up, I wanted to, there's a question on the wall that I really like. Who is your favorite character? And very quickly, why?
I think the easiest immediate answer for me right now is going to be Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
Just in seeing his progression through the show and how they chose to write him in so many different ways throughout the seasons as they progress.
Mm-hmm.
Just how his mind state changes, how he becomes more spiritual, how that begins to affect things. So I would say him as a complete package is the most interesting to me by far.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, Armin. Mm-hmm. Armin is a really good character that we see also has changed a lot from like season one of like being kind of like in himself, but then becoming a very interesting character of like how he strategizes things and how he thinks about things and makes decisions. I also really like Hanji.
Hanji's a
really good character. And I'm not going to get too deep into like the characters and like their traits and everything like that. But I very much so like that she's kind of like the mad scientist who also progresses a lot and calms down and becomes really like a leader.
Okay. for starters, like my immediate one is a character named Connie. He actually, for me, has one of the most interesting arcs by the end to do with his family. And like, he really starts out the show as like a really basic character. There's a group of characters that feel kind of basic from the start, but like they really grow towards the end. And he just has some of the most beautiful moments for me throughout the series. There's a character that I have gone back and forth on multiple times, and I haven't really expressed this, but I kind of love Reiner.
Oh.
By the end of the series, by where everything ends up, I think Reiner's character to me has a really cool evolution. And like when things are getting revealed, I can't go too deep, just with his life and everything that he's been through, he just comes out to me like by the end being one of the most interesting, and almost like the show could have been from his perspective the whole time.
Very easily, yeah.
And I think like that's one of the reasons why I love him. He's kind of like in Harry Potter, he's kind of like the Neville. Like he's our Neville, yeah. Here.
Mm. Real. I think it's also kind of tough to pick one solid favorite,
right?
Because I'm sitting here listening to you guys and I think about other characters, like without saying anything about them, Falco. I like, yeah. Falco a lot. Levi. I love Levi. There's so many different characters that are so varied, and the designs are so cool. The backstories are crazy. It's just so well done.
They go so in depth in the character, and I think about a lot of different shows, and they don't always do that with like side characters or people that aren't at the forefront. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing.
Yeah.
And that's our show. You can follow my Spotify at ZeekGen4 to find a playlist that has new upcoming local artists that we update every week.
And y'all can find those same playlists on my Apple Music at Taya_Simone.
You can follow me on Instagram at King_E.D.O. And you can email me at my numbers email, KingEDO@thenumberswithaZ.FM.
You can follow me on Instagram at Serendipity_Solstra, and you can hit my numbers email, solstra@thenumbers.fm.
You guys can all hit me on Instagram at Taya_Simone, and you can email me at SimoneTheWaterBearer@thenumbers.fm. Numbers with a Z.
Lastly, you can find The Numbers on all social medias at TheNumbersFM with a Z, and you can go to our website, www.thenumbers.fm with a Z. Thank you so much, and we'll talk to y'all next week.